Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
Continuing on, a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." This is the word of the Lord.
Wing Rachel, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you at 6:30 once again to be speaking tonight. Please do keep that in front of you there on page 1052. We'll be exploring this part of Luke's Gospel together. But first, let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living words to us in the Scriptures. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would meet with each one of us as we think about these words of yours. Please show us the pride in our hearts, but please also show us and thrill us again with your love, your grace, and your generosity to us. Amen. So as we continue our studies in Luke's Gospel, we come this evening to two of the most famous incidents in the whole of Jesus' life. Jesus' welcome of the little children and Jesus' encounter with the rich ruler. These events are famous, but they're not easy to understand. Perhaps you were wondering as we heard them read, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it"? Maybe you were wondering, why did Jesus tell the ruler to sell everything? Why did he say that? And what does Jesus mean when he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Well, we'll be thinking about all those things as we go through. But the big question that these events ask and answer is this: how can I enter the kingdom of God? Or to put it another way, how can I receive eternal life? How can I be saved? Now, this is the most important question in the whole of life for every single one of us. You see, this life is not all that there is. God has given every human being a sense of eternity in our hearts. In Jesus' teaching, we see him speaking of eternity and confirming that it is real with his resurrection from the dead. The time is coming when every one of us will stand before Jesus as our judge, and we will either be welcomed into his eternal kingdom with great joy or shut out of his kingdom forever. And so that is why this question is the most important question in life. How can I enter the kingdom of God? In other words, how can I receive eternal life? And this is what Jesus shows us in these two events. And his answer is beautifully simple, but it is also terribly hard for us to accept due to the pride in our hearts, which is why, however often we've heard it, we need to keep listening to Jesus' answer to this question here in Luke's Gospel. And Jesus' big answer, and it runs through almost all of our reading, is this: the kingdom is received and not earned. Jesus is saying, you cannot earn your way into God's kingdom, but you can receive it as a sheer gift from him. Now, at this stage in Luke's gospel, Jesus was very popular, and we read in verse 15 that people were bringing their babies, and the word includes little children, to Jesus for him to bless them. Now, if you know anything about little children as I do, you will know that this must have been a very noisy and chaotic situation. I bet the disciples could hardly hear themselves think because of the crying of the babies. I'm afraid to say the whiff of dirty nappies would have been filling the air, and pushchairs would have been blocking the corridors. In that culture, children were considered of the lowest importance. So the disciples actually rebuked those who were bringing the children. You can imagine them saying to the parents, look, Jesus is actually very important. He's busy. Don't waste his time on these little children. Now, did Jesus agree with the disciples? Not a bit of it. Verse 16, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. We see in these verses that Jesus loves children. He wants children to come to him. In passing, that tells us that a church which loves Jesus will be a church which loves children, and in particular wants children to come to Jesus. This is why we're so thankful for the children's ministry here at St. Mary's. It's why I'm so encouraged when members of this congregation, teenagers or adults, get involved with helping with the children's ministry earlier on a Sunday. If you'd like to get involved, do speak to Nick, to Kate, or to me. So Jesus loves children. He wants them to come to him. But there's more even than that going on here. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like little children. In fact, in verse 17, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now, in what way do we need to be like children in order to receive and enter God's kingdom? Well, many people have thought that what Jesus is saying here is that children are innocent, and if we can be innocent as well, we will enter his kingdom. Now, there are two tiny problems with that theory. The first is children aren't innocent. Children are sweet, we love them, but if we had them, we know that they, like the rest of us, are selfish. The other problem with the innocent theory is we cannot make ourselves innocent. Remember, we saw last week the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector just before here, and it was the tax collector who cried, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, who went home right with God, and not the Pharisee who thought he was innocent. So Jesus is not saying we need to be innocent. That's not what he's saying. In fact, we don't need to guess what he means, because he tells us in verse 17 with the key word, receive. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You have to receive the kingdom just as children receive things. Now, children are experts in receiving. We adults, teenagers as well, I think, we find it quite hard to accept a gift. If someone came up to you and said, here's £10, you'd probably say, what's it for? No, thank you. I don't need it. If you go up to a little child and you say, here's £10, before the words are out of your mouth, it's gone. Someone came to our house the other week with a present. Before they had taken their shoes and coat off, that present had been unwrapped and our kids were playing with it. I love this picture we can see on the screen. Children are experts at receiving. And Jesus is saying, unless you can receive the kingdom of God as a sheer gift, accepting that you don't deserve it and you can't earn it, you will never enter it. Now, this is a beautiful teaching. Jesus on the cross did everything needed for us to have eternal life. Anyone can have it if only we will receive it from him as a sheer gift. It's a beautiful teaching, but it's also very challenging because there's something deep inside each one of us that is determined to try and earn our way in, determined to try and make ourselves good enough for eternal life. We find it much harder than we realize to receive eternal life as a gift. And we see this in the man that Jesus meets next. So verse 18, a certain ruler, a person with position of responsibility, asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, this ruler assumes that you have to achieve eternal life with things that you do. You notice that in his question. And so Jesus says to him in verse 19, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." No mere human being is good. Only God is good. Now, of course, Jesus really is good. It's one of the signs that he is the Son of God. But Jesus wants that ruler to realize that no one apart from God is good. He wants the ruler to realize that he, the ruler, is not good. And so Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." Now, God gave 10 commandments, and Jesus here mentions only 5. And Jesus is deliberately mentioning the ones which are easiest to keep outwardly. So he's missed out commandments 1 to 4, which start with the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And he misses out commandment 10, which is, "Do not covet." Jesus is listing the ones that are easiest to keep outwardly. Now, none of us keep even these commandments in our heart. Remember, Jesus taught us that a lustful look is like adultery in the heart. But this ruler, he's thinking outwardly. And he says, "I've kept all of these since I was a boy." This ruler thinks that he's good. And Jesus really wants to help him with that. So in verse 22, Jesus said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Now, why on earth did Jesus say that? He doesn't tell anyone else in the Bible that they have to sell everything before they follow him. Why did he raise the bar so high for this ruler? Well, Jesus wants him to see that he's got a problem in his heart. When he's faced between a choice of, on one hand, his wealth and his possessions, and on the other hand, God and eternal life, well, he finds that he chooses his wealth and his possessions. He may have kept commandments 5 to 9 outwardly, but Jesus wants him to realize that he's breaking commandment 1 every single day. "Have no other gods before me." This man's wealth, his possessions, they were more important to him than God. But of course, it's not just him. We all do the same thing. Every day we put things in the place of God as the one we trust, the one we obey, the most important thing in our life. It might be money. It could be comfort. It could be getting our own way. It could be fitting in with people around us. Every day we break the first commandment by putting these things as gods ahead of God. Now, Jesus challenges the ruler in this way because he wants the ruler and us to see that we're not good. And he wants the ruler to cry out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and receive the kingdom like a little child." I read a story about a man who came to see his minister. And the man said to the minister, "Why do you keep saying that we are sinners who need forgiveness?" He said, "I'm not a sinner. I live a good life." Well, the minister looked at the man and he said, "You have broken the two most important commandments. And the man said, how dare you? The minister said, well, what do you think the two most important commandments are? And the man said, well, do not murder, do not commit adultery, of course. I'm telling you, I haven't done those things. And the minister said, those are not the two most important commandments. Jesus said, the first commandment is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you done that? And the man said, no. Then the minister said, and Jesus said, the second commandment is like it, this, love your neighbor as yourself. Have you done that? And the man said, no. And the minister said, you have broken the two most important commandments. And then the man came back the next week, and wonderfully he said, how can I be saved? That's what Jesus wanted this ruler to realize. And at this stage, at least, there's no indication that he did. We're just told in verse 23, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. So Jesus continues with the lesson. And in 24, he looked at the man and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is giving here an example of something which is humanly impossible. You may have heard this explained in terms of a small gate which a camel could just about squeeze through. There's no evidence for that at all. Jesus is talking about something which is humanly impossible. The biggest animal around, the camel, the smallest thing around, the eye of the needle, it is impossible to get the camel through the needle. Now, even with the Magimix 5200 extra large, which is one of the best food processors around. Now, this comes with a 30-year guarantee. I don't know if that's 30 years of ownership or 30 years of continuous grinding. No camels were harmed in the preparation of this sermon. Even with the Magimix 5200 extra large, you would find it impossible to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And that is Jesus' point. And his hearers are shocked. They say, who can be saved? The hearers thought that rich people were blessed by God, the front of the queue for eternal life. And Jesus says, with man, it is impossible. But it is possible with God. In other words, no matter how hard we try, we cannot get ourselves into God's kingdom. We keep putting other things in God's place. But we can receive it as a gift from God. And I think Jesus' point here is that that is much harder for a rich person. You know, I guess almost all of us on a global scale are rich, although we might not feel rich. And Jesus is saying it's so much harder for a rich person to realize that they need God's mercy. You know, most of us have been used in life to it. We're the ones helping other people, not people helping us. Most of us have been able to pay our own way for years. Most of us have probably never had the experience of having to beg for mercy. And that makes it harder for us to receive God's kingdom as a simple gift. Actually, for everybody, it takes a miracle of the Holy Spirit to show us that we're not good and we need to cry to God for mercy. You see, if we come to Jesus thinking that we're good and trying to earn his kingdom, he can't help us. But if we come to Jesus knowing that we're sinners and ready to receive it as a gift, he welcomes us in. There'll be nobody enjoying eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth who will say, I got myself here. Now, if you ask them, how did you get here? They'll say, well, it was a sheer gift. Jesus died to pay for my many sins. And then the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to realize that I needed God's mercy. Now, it's good for us each to ask ourselves, has God worked that miracle in your life? Has he shown you that his kingdom is not earned by your efforts, but received as a gift from Jesus? And a kingdom is received and not earned. And then there's something else that Jesus teaches us in this passage as well, and we're going to be more brief on this second one. The kingdom is received, not earned, and those who receive the kingdom will give and gain. You see, when Jesus asked the ruler to sell everything, he was not only showing him that he wasn't good, he was also showing Jesus a picture of the kind of generosity that marks out the kingdom of God. Now, I'm guessing most of us have seen what happens if you drop one of those Mentos mints into a bottle of Coke. Some kind of chemical reaction starts happening in the Coke. It's filling up the bottle, filling. And somehow the bottle becomes generous and gives out its Coke. Well, it's like that when Jesus comes into someone's life. He fills us up inside. We realize he's given himself for us. He's given eternal life to us. He's never going to let us down. And we find that Jesus in us changes us, fills us up to make us generous and to make us walk in his ways. So being generous doesn't get us into the kingdom, but when we come into the kingdom, well, that makes us generous. And the disciples realize that this has happened to them. So look at verse 28. Peter said to Jesus, "We," that is the disciples, "have left all we had to follow you." Now, at this point in Luke's gospel, the disciples are a mixed bag. There are things that they do understand and lots that they don't. But Peter does know this. He knows that Jesus has changed his life. When Jesus came into their lives, the disciples left everything to follow him. And in verses 29 and 30, Jesus gives them a wonderful reassurance. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." There's that word "receive" again. Jesus is saying, however much you give up for him, you receive back many times more, even in this life, not to mention eternal life to come. You can never give more to Jesus than he gives to you. Now, Jesus talks about homes. You know, there are Christians who've left houses or have given up any hope of ever owning their own house because of the way that they're serving Jesus. That's a sacrifice. But Jesus is saying they find that they receive back many times more, even in this life. Not literally houses, but through the church family, having dozens of homes that they're welcomed into as brothers and sisters. And actually, it's the same with whatever we give for Christ. So as Christians with Jesus in us, we want to give to help those in need, especially to help people come into God's kingdom. Whether we can only give a small amount, perhaps we're giving from an allowance or a holiday job, or whether we can give more, we want to give because we know how much Jesus has given us. As Christians, we also give time. So we commit to meeting week by week with brothers and sisters to encourage them on Sundays and perhaps in the week as well. Perhaps we give time to serve in a children's ministry or to help with the Real Lives Week or many other ways. And Jesus promises here that whatever we give for his sake, financially or in terms of time, we will receive back many times as much, even in this life. Not literally money and time, but for example, the joy of seeing God's kingdom grow, the joy of growing in our relationship with him. You can't outgive Jesus. And also in verse 29, Jesus mentions disciples who have left family members. And there are Christians today who, because of the way they're serving Jesus, they've given up the chance to marry, perhaps, or they find themselves a long way from their family and friends. And those are big sacrifices. But again, Jesus says they don't miss out. And that's because in the church family, they have dozens of parents and children and brothers and sisters in Christ. Actually, it's the same with us and the sacrifices we might make in this area. Now, some of us have said no to a dating relationship because we know that the relationship at this time or with that particular person would not help us in our relationship with Jesus. Some of us in the church are single because we said no to marrying an unbeliever. Others are single because the kind of relationship we're attracted to is not in line with Jesus' teaching. Now, those are real sacrifices, deep sacrifices. But Jesus promises that when you say no to something for his sake, you receive many times as much. And that would include loving, intimate relationships with brothers and sisters in the church family. It's actually our responsibility in the church to have such loving relationships with one another that those who say no to other relationships for Jesus' sake don't miss out. So Jesus is saying the kingdom is received, not earned. And those who receive the kingdom give and gain. In other words, when Jesus comes into our lives, he changes us so that we want to give, so we want to make sacrifices for him. And what we find is no matter how much we give for Jesus, we receive many times as much in this life and in the age to come, eternal life. So as we conclude, I guess this passage has two groups of people in view. There are those who, like the little children at the start, come to Jesus with empty hands to receive eternal life as a gift paid for by him. They know they don't deserve it. They know they can't earn it. They just cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they find that they receive from Jesus a place in his kingdom. Those are the receivers. And then the other group are those like the rich ruler who come to Jesus thinking that they're good, thinking that they've kept enough of God's commandments. And they're asking Jesus, what do I need to do to earn a place in your kingdom? And actually, it's impossible for Jesus to help them, impossible for them to enter. Which of those groups, the receivers or the earners, do you feel closer to? If it's the earners, like the rich ruler, remember what Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. It is impossible for us to make ourselves good enough for God. Cry out to him, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and he will receive you in. If it's the little children, if it's the receivers we identify with, well then give thanks. Christ has given you his kingdom. And respond, like that bottle of Coke, with generous giving, with faithful service, knowing that we will always receive back from our generous Lord many times more than we can give for him. Let's pray together. Father God, we know how proud our hearts can be. Show us that we cannot earn your kingdom. Lord, as we go on in the Christian life, we can even start to think that the ways that you are changing us somehow make us good enough for you. Please show us every day that we need your mercy. And please keep us in that place of humbly receiving from you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on that cross, you rose again, so that when we come to you to receive, you give us eternal life as a sheer gift. Help us to respond with giving and with serving, joyfully knowing that whatever we give up for you, we receive many times more back. Amen.